Okay, welcome back. Time for Mitchell Henderson every Monday. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back. We're still here.
Hello. Good to be here. Yes, we are, for the time being.
Yeah. I think about this. I don't obsess over it, but I think about it. And thanks to all of your input, it makes my thinking even more complicated. I don't know how these idiots are going to play it. I just don't know. Here they are on the doorstep of getting their global control wishes. Are they going to really blow it all up and just give it up when they have the control they've always lusted for? Or are they going to do something kind of in the middle to teach people to be afraid, to be very afraid of their power? Are they going to do some limited, will the Russians invade Poland or vice versa? Will the Russians invade France or vice versa? Something to make a point. And when you know that now, Zelensky, the Zionist Jew who is running Ukraine, has outlawed all church organizations with any affiliation to the Christian Russian Eastern Orthodox Church, that's called a war on Christianity. They're trying to turn Ukraine into essentially a Jewish Zionist stronghold. Greater Israel times 10. That's what they're after here, in my view.
Well, listen, the thing is they're sort of deluded by arrogance, okay? Because they are on the verge of world control and domination. So what I want to talk about tonight is why war is very inevitable. I mean, it's going to happen. And I want to give some people some insight into exactly why it will happen and exactly why it's inevitable.
Right.
So what I want to start off with is I want to make people understand North Korea, because it's probably the one that we are deluded the most about. It's the one that we're lied the most about.
It's the big boogeyman.
It's the one that we understand the least. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to do this, and this is why, if you can't understand, trust me, the people in Washington, D.C. don't understand them either. Okay? They just want to see the world in the context of our culture, of the way we are.
Yeah.
And so we cannot understand anybody if we do that. So what I want to do is I'm going to talk about Kim Jong-un and why he hates K-pop. Okay, and why he will not allow it in his kingdom. So the questions we ask is this just arbitrary on his part? And why does Kim see K-pop as a threat? Okay.
Tell everybody what K-pop is, Mitch. Not everybody knows.
K-pop is Korean pop music. It's just pop music
Pop culture of South Korea. That's right.
Right, and you see a lot of K-pop music in, like, games, like video games and stuff like that,
right.
And anime culture and stuff. Just like we have music in our adventure movies and stuff, we have this music to highlight it and stuff, the current cool music of America. Well, well, for anime and Japanese and Oriental stuff, they have K-pop music, is the type of music that they put in there. To do it. So
gotcha.
I'll get into that a little bit. But first, we have to understand that North Korea is a Confucian state. It is not a Marxist state like we say it is, okay? North Korean Marxism is homegrown and called juche, or self-reliance. Koreans were atheistic and collectivist in nature long before Marx was born. It is not a Korean adaptation of Western philosophy. It is the adaptation of a Western philosophy to Korean culture. So in other words, Marxism hasn't changed Korean culture. Korean culture has changed Marxism in North Korea. Okay?
Gotcha.
So that you can understand this a little bit better, let me go to South Korea, because it's also a Confucian culture, but just not as extreme. We can see that they have, in modern times, hijacked our religion and adapted it to their culture. This started when Christian missions went to Korea. The Chundokyo was a Korean religion that borrowed other religions. It's based on Musak, which is Korean shamanism. Then they absorbed Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism, and Roman Catholicism. So instead of Catholicism changing Korea, Korea changed Catholicism. Okay, so it grew rapidly, and by 1894-1895, the Chundokyo rebelled, and this was called the Tongak Rebellion. These were like syncretic Christian. This is a syncretic Christian religion that they created. Okay. And the Japanese had to come in to put this rebellion down. And when the Japanese came in to put this rebellion down, they kind of stayed. And in 1910, they just annexed Korea as a part of Japan, okay, which the Koreans did not like, of course. So after the Japanese left, a new syncretism Christian church began called the Unification Church, the Moonies. Okay, so I think everybody's
is Reverend Moon still around, Mitch?
No, Reverend... he's passed away.
Okay.
So here's a weird thing. Last week I was visited by two evangelists for the World Mission Society Church of God, which was founded in Korea in 1962.
Right.
Okay, the Unification Church began in 1954, Sung Ying Moon, but this one began in 62. If you wonder why Kim Jong-un is referred as a god and commands strict obedience, okay, this is the thing that we don't understand. You only have to look at these two South Korean Christian religions. In the Unification Church, or Moonies, Sun Myung-yoon is revered as the Messiah and the, quote, true parent of humanity.
Right.
Okay, now does this not sound just as bizarre as Kim Jong-un, the dear leader, being the god of the nation? It's
sure
the
does.
Same thing, and this is in South Korea, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on to these people who came to my doorstep to try to recruit me into their cult, the World Mission Society Church of God. Okay, An Sang-hong, the founder, was the second coming of Christ. And check this out, Zhang Jia, who is still alive, this is a woman, she is God incarnate as the God of the Mother.
Right.
God the Mother. Okay. Now these are like Hispanic missionaries. These are Western people who believe this woman is God the Mother, that she is God incarnate on earth. And that their religious leader is the second coming of Christ, okay? How is this different than North Koreans believing Kim Jong-un is their god? Why is it so odd that he is their god when we have the Unification Church and this World Mission Society Church of God with millions of adherents that believe that this old lady in Seoul, Korea is God the Mother, okay? So it isn't that strange, is what I'm trying to say. And that Western people believe this also, okay? So South Korea has over 300 distinct Christian cults, each with their own messiahs, gods, or goddesses. These range in churches from 10,000 to 700,000 to a million people.
Okay? How do you choose? That's an awful lot on the plate. That's wild.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot, and these are Christian-based religions.
I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now it's like I said, this is where a Korean religion, Musak, okay, it has sucked this in and changed Christianity. Okay, Christianity didn't change them, as you can tell. They have changed Christianity for their purposes. So why is Kim Jong-un adamant about keeping K-pop out of North Korea? Because K-pop is the anti-Confucius or anti-Kim and the anti-Christ to Korean Christian cults, as a matter of fact. So let me explain Confucianism here a little bit so you can see why. And this is the life philosophy, the reality of the people in North Korea, and to some degree the people in South Korea. So Confucianism puts a premium value on humility, seeing it as a foundational virtue for personal development and social harmony, rather than an independent concept. It is expressed through a variety of behaviors and attitudes, particularly yielding, reverence, and modesty. So let me just cover humility in Confucian thought. So humility is the foundation of other virtues. Humility allows the proper development of other core virtues like humanness and righteousness. It helps individuals reduce self-centeredness, enabling them to focus on the community and their own growth. Other-oriented. Confucian humility is profoundly focused on others, consistently prioritizing the social good over individual aspirations. Pay attention to this. The social good over individual aspirations. This is at the core of the K-pop threat. Okay? Mm-hmm. It encourages seeing oneself as a part of a larger community, with others' failures and successes being your own. It's a position of strength. Confucian humility is not seen as a weakness or subjugation, not subjugation in their mind. Okay? It is a sign of inner strength that prepares one for proper engagement with society and politics. It promotes harmonious interaction. Humility helps maintain social harmony by reducing arrogance and self-conceit. Yielding to others and showing respect through ritual propriety are key practices that enable smooth social interaction. In other words, you know where you are in the pecking order, and you speak to those above and below you in the proper manner, okay? Intellectual humility. In the context of learning, humility means acknowledging one's limitations and being open to learning from anyone, regardless of their societal status. Confucius himself exemplified this by constantly asking questions and pursuing knowledge. Okay, so the three ways that you do this is called yielding. That's the act of voluntarily deferring to others in matters of honor or benefit. This is a deliberate choice to step aside for the greater good, not a sign of weakness. Reverence, an internal state of respect and external display of proper etiquette towards others. It involves being serious and dignified in one's conduct to avoid causing offense or disrespect. Mm-hmm. Modesty, a humble and unpretentious attitude involving having a realistic and accurate view of one's own strengths and weaknesses. Okay, so this is what Confucianism, this is your North Korean person, okay? Just as we have our culture and we live our culture, this is their culture. We think that they're slaves. No, they're not slaves, okay? So then let's look at K-pop, its message, and to realize that it has spread like a disease, like wildfire in Asia. Okay, so what I'm going to do is go to one group. It's called Hunter X or Huntress, and they have a song called Golden. Okay, so let me just go through their popular song, because this song has swept over Asia like crazy. Actually, it swept over the whole world.
So this is contemporary words. Right now?
This is contemporary. This is right now.
It's called Golden. You're going to sing this for us, are you?
Well, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the lyrics.
Okay.
You don't want me to sing. Terrible singer. Okay, so the lyrics are, I'm done hiding, now I'm shining, like I'm born to be. We're dreaming hard, we came so far. Now I believe. And then the chorus is, we're going up, up, up. It is our moment. You know, together we're growing. Gonna be golden. Okay, so the lyrics of this song that I just sang, they're exactly and diametrically opposite of what Confucianism is. This is the opposite of humility.
Okay? Gotcha.
This is self-aggrandizement. This is personal achievement. Okay? So this song, I mean, you can look it up on YouTube. It's just called Golden by Hunter/X. So there's many versions. In Vietnam, they have two girl groups that do it called Be Wild and Black Sea. In Cambodia, Mina does it. She does a pretty good rendition. The Philippines has many groups, Fourth Impact, G22, Regine Velasquez. Japan, there's Twice and A2. Australia, Damiem. She's an Oriental, but she's a natural born Australian. And even Indonesia, which is Muslim, Shania Yan sings this. But then there's also in Canada, there's Rain Ramis, Netherlands, Emma Heesters. In Spain, there's a group called Pony Squad that sings this. I mean,
Pony Squad?
Pony Squad in Spain. It's mostly sung in English, but it also has renditions in Russian, Turkish, French, Spanish,
really?
And Hindi.
I don't see that the lyrics are that profound. Do you?
Well, no, but you see, when you add the music to it, it gives you this... It probably stimulates some dopamine and gives you this feeling of uplifting.
Maybe it's an AI creation, then.
Oh, it really could well be, you know. I mean, it's, the K-pop is sort of, well, it's manufactured music, okay, basically, I think. So.
Well, AI, they're all over it then, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, now. We think the way we do because we all unthinkingly acquiesce to the culture we are born into. All humans do this. This is why North Koreans actually admire and worship Kim Jong-un. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is not that they don't, that they're forced to. They willingly do this. Consider this, that two Hispanic Westerners showed up at my door who believe in an old woman in Korea is God, the mother, and they will obey her. She tells them not to listen to K-pop, and they will not. And they are not even culturally Korean. Why is it so hard to believe that North Koreans can love and obey Kim with all their heart, mind, and soul? Okay, the way we look at North Koreans is that in just a minute, if we just got rid of Kim, they would overthrow this oppressive slavery state and liberate themselves. No. They are liberated. We're the ones who are enslaved in their mind. Okay. The North Korean people love Kim Jong-un. They love their country and love their culture. They willingly do this. Try looking at Europeans that travel to North Korea and take videos. You can find these on YouTube, okay? The people are normal with normal lives, okay? They're educated, they're intelligent. This is normal to them. It's just that we have been told that these people are slaves. We just cannot relate. We think they live in paradise and are protected from the outer world by their loving leader. They think we live in an unbearable hell. We think they live in an unbearable hell. Do you think they want our culture and our way of life? The thought horrifies them to live like us, to have lives like we do. It horrifies them. They're terrified of becoming like us.
No doubt.
America, above all, insists that they live like us and have our freedoms like drug addiction, gay sex, trannies, and illegal aliens taking over their country. We just don't see it the way that they do, okay? So I just wanted to kind of, I think North Korea is a pretty extreme example of this. I mean, we just cannot imagine. We think that they're just living like slaves. They don't think they're living as slaves. Listen, I'll, just as a clue in, when I was a very young man, I kind of, you know, I wasn't happy about the way the society in the world in the West was, okay? And I read Plautus, this was in college, he's a Roman playwright from Roman times, and he says there's two kinds of slaves. The slave that's in chains and has to sleep on a stone floor with an empty belly, who has no doubt that he's a slave. And then there's the slave that sleeps in a soft bed with a full belly and doesn't have any chains on, who has no idea that he's a slave. Mm-hmm. So all my life here in the West, I thought that I was a slave. Okay. But a slave that's, you know, for a great deal of time, I did have a decent bed and a decent meal. Not always, but sometimes I did. So, you know, it's not a stretch for me to understand that I could look at the people around me and they thought that, well, they had it made, you know, that they were living the good life, you know. And so, I mean, this, generally they would say this. But every day I go to work, everybody else is bitching about everything the same way I was. So I don't know what kind of a paradise it was with everybody belly aching all the time. Okay, so you know, it's just slavery. In other words, is relative. Okay, you know, they don't think they're slaves.
Well, sure.
They think they are free and protected people living to their full potential in a harmonious society.
They have a point, Mitch, as you well know, that we are living in hell. And I would have a tough time arguing that they're completely wrong. I don't think they are. I think we are living in a hell, and it's getting to be more hellacious all the time.
So we look at Kim Jong-un not allowing K-pop into North Korea. We look at that like, well, he's just some arbitrary dictator just doing this for no reason. Is it because, well, Kim Jong-un doesn't like good music? No, they have rock and roll in North Korea. He has the army band put on concerts of Western rock and roll. Okay.
Huh.
I mean, he went to school in Switzerland.
He grew up
in school in Switzerland. He's familiar with rock and roll and stuff, okay? But there's just a difference, okay? So it's like he understands music as a drug, okay? He's seen it, okay? So he looks at K-pop not just as just some kind of music. He sees it as a drug.
Oh, it's a diversionary drug.
He sees it as brainwashing.
I agree. Sure.
It's brainwashing as far as he is concerned, okay? And then what helps the brainwashing, well, if you look at the videos, they're very cute and beautiful dancing Oriental ladies singing this in a good Western voice and stuff too. So you know, what this is typical brainwashing. I mean, when I went to the psychological warfare school, they pointed out that car commercials back in the 60s and stuff always had a beautiful woman by the car. And what it was is it's this thing called association. You associate the car with the beautiful woman, and when you go buy the car, you think you're buying the beautiful woman. Well, this is how you introduce contraband goods into people's mind and into their heart. You dress it up as a beautiful woman and introduce the thought there. Okay.
You mean
rudimentary brainwashing. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's true. You really don't get the woman with the car? Is that true?
No. I've seen guys spend a lot of money on nice hot cars, and well, they didn't really get any women, you know. it's just a hook by which to sell something to you and stuff. Okay, so you have to understand that the reason why there won't be peace and the reason why we can't come to any agreement with them. It's because our mind is we do not understand them at all. What we understand about North Korea is the lies that we have told ourselves. Okay, that is what we understand.
All right, now, so I'm sure that Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me go on a little bit about North Korea.
Yeah.
So North Korea, their idea, they've kind of morphed their idea over time. There was a time in the beginning, in 1953, where they were thinking about unifying all the Korean people together. Okay. Now Kim would like the South, but without the people in the South. He no longer wants to reunify with these nutcases in the South.
Well, he probably views them as defectives, which you just said, nutcases. Yes,
right,
of course.
Right. So he would like to have the whole land. In 1972, let me relate this a little bit to you, too. So in 1972, I was in Korea when Park Chung-hee did his coup and instituted martial law, okay? At that time, the reason Park Chung-hee did this, 1972, South Korea was a third world agrarian country. North Korea was actually richer, an industrial country, okay? And so what Park did when he declared martial law, he said, yeah, we got to stop all this politicking and stuff. You know, we can't be fighting each other. We got to unify it to development. And what he said is, we're going to invest in infrastructure. We're going to build our country up. We need to get some wealth here. So what he did is, I remember some of the laws that he passed. Like, people were getting into the habit of buying flowers for funerals, for weddings, for stuff like mm-hmm. this. And mm-hmm. Park Chung-hee says, okay, stop that flower stuff. It's a waste of money. We need money to go to useful industries and stuff. Greeting cards were a big thing. Stop the greeting cards. Yeah. Stop this nonsense. We don't have the luxury to have stupid, wasteful luxury goods. We need to focus on building this country. I remember Korea at that time, nothing went to waste. Nothing went to waste. Every scrap of everything was used for something. I mean, Park Chung-hee made it a concerted effort to do it. Now Korea is a modern first world nation. Okay. Well, how did they get there? Okay. So what was Park Chung-hee doing that was different than what Kim Il-sung at the time, the granddaddy was the leader then. There wasn't a big difference in what they were doing. No political opposition. What about the equivalent of K-pop? Well, Park Chung-hee cracked down on hippies because, you know, all these American GIs were over there and they were convincing young Korean people to be hippie-like and stuff. And he wanted to nip that in the bud. He says, yeah, stop that nonsense, okay? So what did Park Chung-hee know about communism? Well, you know, before the Korean War, he actually was a communist. Okay, so he was a Marxist at one point. All right, we don't really talk about that. We don't really think about it. But he both worked for the Japanese and he was a communist. So the distinctions that we make are just distinctions that we make. Okay.
Got it.
So
all right. Now. Due to popular demand, I'm going to play a little from Golden so people can hear it, just so you get an idea. And here, let me just play it. I was a ghost, I was alone, ha, 도어진, ha, 기석에, given the throne, I didn't know, ha, to believe I was the queen that I'm meant to be. I lived two lives, tried to paint both sides, but I couldn't find my own place. Caught a bad child, could have got too wild, but now. All right, you get the idea. Sounds like everything else I hear from the pop side now.
Yeah, it's all about unusual. Let's be the ultimate of what an American is, the Western individual.
There you go. What terrible values.
Pride,
awful.
Accomplishment, ooh. You know.
Yeah.
Stuff like this, okay? So let me briefly go into some other just some points. I wanted to go in depth about North Korea because it would probably be the hardest for us to understand. But now let's look at why can't we get along? Why can't we negotiate with China? Okay, so let me just drive this point home. The Chinese people eat 1.4 trillion pounds of seafood per year. Okay, just think about this number.
It's unreal.
1.4 trillion pounds of seafood per year. That's what the Chinese people eat. Each Chinese person eats approximately 100 pounds of seafood a year. Okay, I like Chinese seafood dishes. I mean, they're good. They're tasty. So what America does is we insist on containing China with the first island chain. We won't let them have Taiwan because if they have Taiwan, that puts a gap right in the middle of the first island chain. And the first island chain is meant to be able to contain China, to blockade them from access to the Pacific Ocean. Okay, these people eat 1.4 trillion pounds of seafood per year. Okay, if we can shut down, if we can blockade them at the first island chain, this is food security for the Chinese people. Okay, this is an existential threat to Chinese food security. It allows us to easily blockade them from entering the Pacific. Okay.
Got it.
It seeks to deny them exclusive use of their exclusive economic zone, which is 200 miles off the coast. That would mean the entire Taiwan Straits, okay? It wants to keep them pushed as far back to the Chinese coast as possible, and wants to keep them, for example, China wants all these little islands in the South China Sea to extend their exclusive economic zone out there, because they need to have a secure source of seafood. And America fights them and tries to every turn to deny them that. Okay? So this is an existential threat to China, and we keep pushing that button. We keep trying to close them off. We keep threatening to have the ability to just completely blockade them from a major food source. We, the American people, are never told this. We never see the Chinese point of view, but that is the Chinese point of view. You know, it's like you got to have food to eat. If you're a government, you have to ensure that your people have food to eat. That is a basic thing. I understand we have a government that tries to destroy our food supply, but, you know, their government is really, they've got like a billion people to feed, so they can't. They can't fool around, okay? So, you know, China is... So America began 250 years ago, et cetera, et cetera. You know, China's 4,000 years old. They have a proud culture. They were oppressed by the West, by European colonialists and American interventions. They were humiliated by us, okay? When you saw this military parade in China on the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II, what you were seeing is not China showing the weaponry off as a threat to the world. They were showing their military off as this is self-defense of China and the Chinese land, the Chinese people, the Chinese culture. Okay, this was their defense. They weren't saying, look at us, we can conquer the world. They're saying, look at us, you can't conquer us. That's what they're saying. That's the message we're sending. Of course, that's not the message you hear in the American press. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you look at Iran, this is an old Persian culture. Okay, they're thousands of years old. Okay, they're a traditional culture. They don't want to become like Americans, you know? I mean, if they do, they'll move to L.A., but, you know, the ones who want to actually be Persian, they want to live in Persia and have their own Persian-like culture and way of life and stuff. That's what they'd like, and they'd like to be left alone to do that.
Good luck.
Israel will not allow that to happen, though.
No.
Okay?
No.
Then let's look at Russia. This is just, why can't Trump thinks he can just go talk to somebody and the weight of his personality is going to get them to agree. Okay, but this is it. I've pointed this out time after time. If you look to the west of Russia, from Norway, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, that's a solid wall of NATO countries over there that are always saying, oh, Russia's going to threaten us and invade us. Well, no, Russia has no intention of. Okay, we're the ones that said NATO wouldn't go one inch further into
that's
East
right.
Germany.
That's right.
We weren't even going to station troops in East Germany mm-hmm. after they reunified. All mm-hmm. those promises are broken, and they're right there on the doorstep of Russia. So if you leave any point on Russia and go directly north, you run into Norway, Greenland, Canada, or Alaska, NATO. It's a solid wall of NATO to the west, a solid wall to the north. If you go the east in Russia, you're going to bump into Alaska, which is NATO, and then Japan. And Japan, you know, Japan's a lot longer than you think. It completely covers that whole area towards the ocean, too. So Japan sort of blocks Russia from the Pacific also, but mostly it makes a solid wall of NATO or NATO allied countries to the west, to the east, to the north. Russia just simply will not stand for Ukraine to the south to become NATO. They will not allow it. They will not allow it. That is an existential threat to Russia. If NATO is in danger of getting Ukraine or getting its forces into Ukraine, Russia will go to nuclear war. They might as well. I mean, they're done. If Ukraine falls to NATO, they're done. Mm-hmm. Russia's mm-hmm. over. They're completely contained. They don't want to be completely contained. Okay, Iran to their south too. They really would rather it not be contained either. Also China. Listen, China has spent over the last 20, 30 years, they've been building the Belt and Road program to unify Eurasia and even Africa to have an infrastructure for trade, for business. This is not a military infrastructure. This is a business and trade and economic infrastructure. That right. is what China is going into debt for. They go into debt to build infrastructure for their country. They go into debt to build infrastructure for a Belt and Road program to create wealth all over Eurasia and Africa. Okay, the United States is $37 trillion in debt. We have spent $14 trillion over the past 20 years to invade Afghanistan, to invade Iraq, to invade Libya, to invade Syria, and now we're moving on to our planned invasion of Iran. Okay, we're $14 trillion in debt over destroying places, not building anything, but destroying places, okay?
And that's correct.
And we don't have the money to pay that money back. We're spending lavishly on taking the peace from the world and destroying the world. And we're doing that. We've spent that $14 trillion, Americans, for Israel's benefit, because none of that benefits the United States or the American people in any way. In any way, we've done that for Israel. So you see the world views of all these countries, there is no ground that they can come together with. The United States wants to rule the world, wants to tell everybody else what to do, wants to be able to threaten everybody with everything, and the world just doesn't want that to be. The world doesn't want to live that way.
No.
Okay. And that's why there will not be peace. That's why there will certainly be war. There is no breakthrough. The next breakthrough is World War III. Okay? So, you know, how much time do we have? Hey, it could be a month from now. We could be in the midst of it. Okay? There could be drastic things happening even within a month. So every moment you have from now until then is a moment mm-hmm. you need to get prepared. You need to get your ducks lined up on the road. You need to get food. You need to get supplies. You need to get the equipment that you need. You need to get my book, The Final Wars, which will
yes.
tell you what you need for go bags, for a vehicle go bag, for a personal go bag, and what you need to do to survive what's coming. We've got a lot of things coming. We got not just World War III coming, but if you look at our fine country, we've got a civil war in the making here. Because just as the difference between North Korea and us is intractable and different, difference between the Marxist Democrats and the free people, okay, is vastly different. And even within the groups, even within Republicans, you have those who support the Antichrist Israel, and you have those who are against it. Same with the Democrats.
Right.
You have Democrats that are in favor of the Antichrist, and there's ones who are against it. Okay.
Right.
So there's many divisions, and those divisions get deeper and deeper and deeper every day. Even between the races, you got this black guy stabbing this young Ukrainian girl on a bus. They're minding her own business. He just gets up and starts stabbing her to death. The Democratic Party has created racial hatred within blacks towards white people that is
sure.
untractable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Intractable. Yes.
This hatred.
It is. It is intractable.
White people.
Absolutely.
It is
correct.
Intractable.
Yep.
So The Final Wars. You can get it at Amazon. Get Travis's Prepare tab, which will work even without the grid. Okay, and it's got a wealth of information on it. But get prepared. You need to be prepared in information. You need to be prepared in equipment and food also, okay? My book also goes into detail in Chapter 9 about seeing the world from the point of view of Iran, North Korea, China, Russia. It gives you an understanding of where they stand, because if you're depending on the American news about those countries, they're lying to you. Let me just tell you at this point, everything that the mainstream media says is a lie. 90% of what you read on social media is a lie, okay?
Or some kind of distorted, just utterly distorted view of what reality is supposed to be. Yeah, you're right. It's a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
One way or the other.
Not only that, but if you understand the point of view of Russia, now Russia lies to its own people too, as does China. But if you understand where they're coming from, you can look at their media, even if it's a lie, and you can get the signals from it about what's coming next and what's
going,
how they will react to whatever we do. Okay, which is it is important to be able to do that.
You don't want
to depend on the news to tell you when the time is coming. You have to be able to define that for yourself.
Okay? It's also important to know that every single thing Europe, NATO, does is hostile and threatening to Russia. I haven't seen one thing that would suggest de-escalation. Nothing.
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Not even a hint once in a while of de-escalation. No, they're going to go to war. And the AFD, as you know, has lost eight candidates have died suddenly in the last three months, they're killing, they're murdering. These are political murders. They're trying to murder the AFD out of dominance. It's the number one political party in Germany. It's what the people
of Germany. They won't give them a voice.
Germany.
They won't let them sit down and have a voice and say anything.
Nope.
It's the will of the people. This is what democracy is. Democracy to Democrats means you just do things their way. You don't listen to the other side. Okay, it's just a sect for a minute. If you look at the left and what they say about the Epstein files, they're all focused on Trump. They say, well, Trump is in the Epstein files, and that's why he's suppressing it. This people is cover for Israel. Okay, they want to. They want to deflect from the fact that releasing the Epstein files would be an existential threat to Israel. It would really disrupt their power base.
That's correct.
The power that they have over world leaders would be disrupted if they left. If they released these files, this is why Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, convinced Trump to say, hey, they're all just a Democrat bogus thing. Okay, no, it's very real. Okay, and the Democrats themselves, even though they were in power and they didn't release them, they have no problem saying, oh, yeah, Trump, this Trump. That's a deflection from the truth. And the truth is, and I can't respect the Democrats who say that Trump is not releasing them because his name on it. That I cannot respect them for that because they are not naming the real culprit here, and that is Israel. They're not doing it. Israel, listen, Satan wants you to sacrifice innocent blood. Just like this tranny killer up in Minneapolis who went and killed these little kids in the church. This is satanic. This is him. Yeah. He didn't want to go kill full-grown adults. He shied away from that. He wanted to sacrifice innocent blood. That's the thing.
This is ritualistic Israel. Satanism.
What is Israel doing? Cool. They're sacrificing young girls. They want to catch them innocent and sacrifice them to Israeli power. Okay. So the evil in the world is comprehensive. Okay. And who is the Antichrist? Israel is the Antichrist. Okay. They are the evil ones. They are the ones who are going to bring the end on. They cannot help themselves. Zionism is the religion of Satan. Okay. Pure and simple. There is no other explanation for it. Okay?
I want to say that, and I've been studying international, national, local politics for a long time, and Mitchell is correct. There's no other logical, pragmatic conclusion to arrive at than what he just said. There isn't. I wish there were. I wish we had choices. But he just said it. He's right. That's it. When these people lie like they do, with the blood of, a couple hundred thousand, at least in Gaza, all over the map, all over the floor, taking our money to massacre them, to slaughter them, to violate them in prison and in the streets. That's not human behavior. And we are absolutely complicit in it. We're making it possible with our dollars.
I've seen leftist sites. They're really beating the drum that American support for Israel is the fault of Christians. Okay, and I mentioned this a long time ago that I said the reason for persecution of Christians in the end times will be over anti-Semitism, okay? So Christians are going to catch it from both ways, okay? Because if you're against Israel, you're anti-Semitic. If you're for Israel, you're a Christian, you're a part of the problem. No matter how you cut it, they're going to paint you bad. You can see in that the left says the Epstein files is about Trump, and they blame Christians for us supporting Israel. You can see that there is no logic here. There is no reason. There is no reasoning with them. Okay.
No.
I mean,
no,
you have some people on the right and left that do talk to each other. I mean, Anna Kasparian can sit down with Tucker Carlson and talk reasonably about this, and she even had Marjorie Taylor Greene on talking about it. A very civil conversation. Okay, they're definitely united in this cause, but the hardcore left will not back down. They have to blame Christians for everything that goes wrong.
Oh, course. Blame anybody or anything but themselves.
Oh, yeah.
It's all projected, every bit of it. All the responsibility is projected. It's sickening, all of it. Mitchell, thank you for the update. Very comprehensive, as always.
Welcome.
Lots of insights. And Mitchell's book, The Final War, just perfect. Don't miss it. It's a Bible of survival. talk to you soon, Mitch. You be well.
Okay. Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. There's your update. It's Monday, and tomorrow we'll be back. Tuesday, 21 hours. Talk to you then. Take care, and do your best to prepare.